Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. Steve is out today. This is Larry Sonnenberg, and I'm blessed today. I'm sitting in between Dr. Joe Hubbard.
Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
Dr. Dave Stoop.
Good to see you, Larry.
Two of the wisest, most brilliant people I know, and I've learned a lot from them. Don't make me laugh, please.
Oh, I know.
Why is that so funny?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? It's October, and you still have time in this year to find help so your struggles don't follow you into 2020. After today, we still have Every Man's Battle Workshop twice. We're going to do the Restore Workshop once more. We've got Intimacy and Marriage still ahead of us this month. If you're struggling, please just call 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433. And you can get information about our workshops. You can find a counselor. You can find the right resource that might help you as you're working through certain issues. So I just wanted to ask Dave and Jill, when do I know that a counselor is who I need versus going to one of these workshops? Or how do I know?
Well, I'd start by going to the workshop.
Okay.
And I go to the workshop if you're having trouble and you think the trouble is serious enough that you might not make it as a couple or as an individual, and then do the follow-up by going to counseling as a follow-up, because the intensive is mm-hmm. what it's called. It's an intensive. It's designed to get you kick-started.
And to immerse you, kind
yes.
of, okay. right? Away totally. From regular life.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to really dig into what the problem is and get you started. But then we all need the maintenance. We need the ongoing as things come up.
Yeah, because if I just do the workshop, mm-hmm. then it wears off after a while.
Right. It's like a retreat, right?
Yeah. And the enthusiasm wears off, and then mm-hmm. you got to still – then it's almost like you got to start over. But if you continue the workshop with counseling, you're getting at the root of it, and then you're shoring
right.
it up and –
Right, because in the weekends you really gain a lot of, I think, deep insights mm-hmm. about yourself. There's like paradigm shifts that happen.
That's a good way of putting it.
Right, that then you want to nurture that, and with an ongoing process, so that as the problems come up and your tendency to slip back into old ways, you can catch that and process it through and bring your new insight, your new paradigm shift to that change.
One last question about counseling. If I'm married, a husband or wife wants to go to counseling and the other doesn't.
It's always a challenge.
What's the best approach? Do I just not go until I get my spouse to go, or
no.
do I go by myself if that spouse doesn't go with me?
You go by yourself.
Yeah. I think that's usually what we promote, and then inviting them to come.
Okay.
Right? Inviting them to shed light on what you need help with. Is often some
and get with a counselor that works with couples, because they all know how to get the other couple to come in,
okay, mm-hmm.
the other
spouse.
Part of the couple.
Yeah, okay. Mm. We're going to go to the phones in just a minute right after this break. We've got several calls up there. We're ready to go. I want to just remind you, we always need your financial support. We depend upon donations. We do depend upon them because of what this ministry does, how God works through it. We don't get the credit. God gets all the honor and glory for all the changes that happen when people come and do some of the things that we're promoting. But when you make a gift this month, our gift is 100 Days of Healing. It's a new 100-day devotional. Steve Arterburn wrote it. Goes along with the other three that are already out there. I'll talk about those right after the break, and then we'll get to the phones. So hold on. We are really glad that you're here with us today. We'll be back right after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. I mentioned just before the break, any gift that you make today or this month, we'll send you 100 Days of Healing, 100-Day Devotional by Steve Arterburn. If you would be so bold as to join Club New Life and make Robbie Riggs in our office really happy.
She gets really excited.
Yeah, she is the person that deals with Club New Life more than anybody. We'll send you all four 100-Day Devotionals, 100 Days of Character, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Prayer, and just out 100 Days of Healing. Those four are our way of saying thank you when you join Club New Life. And there's other benefits, there's other great things about it, but we want to get to the phones. So let's talk to Joe. Joe's in Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania, listens on Boyertown Station, WBYN. Hello, Joe. How can we help you?
Yes, I just want to know about biblical grounds for divorce, which I don't want. And my wife does now, on basis that she felt there was abuse, but it wasn't physical. It was more, I don't even think of, well, I guess it would be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time I was in the military and I was away a lot. And I could see where when I'm away, my family worked as a unit together, and then when I came back, I was trying to fit back in, mm-hmm. and it wasn't always working. And sometimes in those situations, I guess, that I would be angry like at things because they weren't being done my way. And then there's a point where I checked out because everything was going along as smoothly, so my wife was doing everything, and I wasn't helping her. And she felt wore down. And so we hit a point that we separated. We've been separated for over a year now. And she decided to go with a divorce. And I was told that I haven't talked to my church yet about it, what they thought of it. And but she's saying that they said that she had grounds. And I'm still confused by that because we've been in counseling. I've been in counseling for a year or more now.
Good.
And I made strides to see where I was, because I didn't see this.
Well, why does the church think there's grounds? What did you do that your wife says broke that covenant?
Well, that's what I mean. We have to get together and talk about it. I haven't been able to get with them yet. We're trying to make it time so all the guys can be there so that we can discuss it. But I heard you guys talking today, and mm-hmm. I just decided to call and. Because you were talking about, the other guys were talking about grounds of divorce and all.
Was there another woman that you were confiding your pain in and just talking to and getting emotionally attached to? Or what? Something must have happened.
No, I have no involvement with any other woman.
Okay.
What about pornography?
There was a point where I was a little bit involved, but I wasn't addicted. I you know, it's the guide thing. You know, you see it, and it's there, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But not an ongoing? Because some people, I mean, there's controversy around that, whether that's breaking the covenant or not, right? Some people say yes, and other people say no.
Well, I don't know, Joe, what the grounds are in terms of what your wife and the pastors came up with, but I don't know that I'd want to make that the battleground. I think I wanted to talk about the fact that I've made progress in recognize that the problem existed and recognize how I contributed to the problem, and that I've been doing something concrete about the problem ever since, and make that the issue of your conversation.
Yeah, because fighting a biblical battle over is it okay or not okay, that doesn't go anywhere most of the time.
Right.
And that's kind of a desperate move.
Right.
Because you're not going to convince her that way.
No, and if she's made her mind up right now, there isn't anything I can do to change it except keep praying.
Well,
and keep changing,
right? You know,
she
told you what the problems were. If you've gone to counseling and you're addressing those problems,
She really didn't tell me specifically.
Okay.
And that's kind of like it got to me. She kept saying, you know, why are you angry or this or that, and I was like, well. Couldn't figure it out, and it's only been like maybe 4 months now, 3 or 4 months now that it's all coming together for me, where I see where I failed her, and it's been like little jigsaw puzzles, like a little piece here, a little piece there, and then I go, oh wait, that's what I was doing, and so now it's all coming together, and I know exactly what I've been doing, and you wake up in the morning and then you see that, and it hurts every time. You know,
it's hard to face.
I can't take it back. It's all done now. And so.
You know,
that's where I'm at.
last time we were on together, it seemed like two or three calls. The answer, one of the answers we gave was, you guys really need to come to our marriage workshop.
Right.
The intimacy in marriage. And it feels like that here as well. It's not that far from you. It's in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. And you have kids together, Joe?
Yes, we have four.
You have four. Oh, okay. So one of the things go ahead.
Go ahead.
They're all what?
I just said they're older. I have two are away and two are in high school.
Okay. But regardless of whether you guys stay married or not, you will be in relationship pretty much forever because of having kids together.
Yes.
Right? So either married or not married, you have to find a way to work through some of your issues. And so sometimes that's a good, approach to help with someone who's wanting a divorce is to say, you know, could we go to this workshop to help us regardless of where our marriage ends up? Because we've got to co-parent these kids. We're going to have weddings. We're going to have grandkids. And we don't want to make it harder on our kids than necessary. And, you know, that you want to do everything that it takes to make sure you guys are doing the right thing. Right? Like last-ditch effort.
That's exactly.
And would she be willing? And that you have been trying to show her that you see where you went wrong. You see where you made it hard on her. And how much she had to really carry the torch, for the relationship, because you were gone so much, right? And then you coming back in and pushing your way into, you know, what she had developed. I mean, this does cause a lot of problems. So I think you owning as much as you can and really trying to understand how hard things were for her, that's an important thing to give to her.
Any last thoughts, Dave, before we move on?
No, Jill sums it up beautifully.
Okay.
Between my coughing.
Joe, I want to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution Bible. There's some good things in that for couples, for husbands, for wives, some daily
devotions.
But you
can do it separate, too, if you need to, right?
And stay on the line, and we'll have you talk to somebody about the workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And getting a scholarship.
There you go.
The word out.
Yeah. If money's an issue, we can help.
Because if anybody deserves a scholarship, it's somebody who serves our country.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your service too, Joe. We're going to talk to Linda. She's right here in La Habra, California. Listens on her New Life app. If you're not aware, we have an app. Go to the App Store and download it, folks. Okay, Linda, how can we help you?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I've been married for, well, my question is that my husband has said that he has actually agreed to go to counseling after 12 years of marriage. But now my question is, should I go through the process of getting a counselor for us, or should I let him do it? I did go through Reba. Reba gave me a name of a counselor in my area, and I have an appointment on Saturday to meet with him one-on-one and then see if he's a good fit for us so that he can do a couple counseling. And all through this time, I have been wanting to go through counseling. My husband has not. And through all our marriage, he has been very mentally and verbally abusive. He throws me out of our bedroom, or he'll move out of the bedroom when things don't go his way and so forth. And then he'll apologize, and then we are intimate sexually, and everything's okay. It's forgotten under the rug, and then he continues again, maybe 2 weeks or a month later. So finally, I told him, I'm calling your bluff. The last time we made up, which was about 2 months ago, I said, if you do this to me again, I'm not coming back. And so he did do it again, and he told me to get all of my belongings, all my stuff out of the bedroom, go into the extra bedroom, do it as quickly as possible. We need to go our separate ways. So I called his bluff, and I did move everything out. And ever since then, which has been 3 weeks now, he has sent me texts like, come in my room, like the same pattern as before. I miss you. It's cold in my bed. Because that's been the pattern that I've always allowed.
Right.
And forgiven, let me go back. And but this time, I just ignore his text. I just ignore it, and I don't seek to look for him or anything. So I think he noticed it. So he sent me an email, a text saying that I'm willing to go to counseling and I'm willing to stop drinking because he is an alcoholic.
So
let me know what we need to do. But honestly, at this point, I feel like, because I am a Christian, he's not. When he told me to leave, I felt like this is my key to kind of like my way out to get out of the marriage, because he is an unbeliever and he's abandoning the marriage. But now he says he wants to go to counseling, and I'm kind of like not wanting to anymore.
So boil it down to the one key question that they can help you with here.
Should I pursue with the counseling, or should I let him follow through? Should I just give him the number and say, you really want counseling? Here's the number, you contact them, you get that. Or should I do it?
I think I would let him do it. My first thought was, you do it.
Right.
But as I think about it, I think I'd ask him to do it. And the fact that he's willing to go now is going to be a problem, because the real question is he going to be willing to continue to go and
do the thing?
Right, so you need him to take ownership. But I think you've gotten his attention, Linda, and that's really good. Okay, so you're trying to stop the pattern that you said, and I heard you said that you allowed. So, and you're right.
Yes.
You have allowed this, and this is the kind of the cycle of the addict, right, where they're getting, you know, they get relief, but then the tension builds up, and you see the outburst with that. I would have certain things. I would tell him that that you want him to go to AA, that you can't continue living this way, and that his drinking is contributing to the problems in the marriage, and that if he continues drinking, there's no hope for the marriage, because you guys have tried it. You've done the research, right? And it hasn't been working. Yeah. And all of his promises, even though he's sincere, like I would give him that, you know, I know you're sincere in the moment when you want to make up, but you're not following through on keeping the pattern from reoccurring. And the pattern is a huge problem because it's an abusive pattern. And, you know, he almost can't help it. He's just stuck in this. And that's part of the powerlessness. So I would say, okay, AA, and then here's a couple of names. You're calling and making the appointment.
Give them names.
Give them names. Here's some people I've looked up. I want it to be someone that you are willing to go to and stick with. And so then, you decide.
And then you go to Al-Anon meetings so that you know how to deal with his alcoholism.
Thank you.
But that's important either way.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought up the alcohol. That was just kind of an afterthought with her, by the way.
Yeah.
But
no,
that's a big,
that's
big
huge,
deal.
Especially
that's
if
the core
it's been
issue.
Long-term. Yeah.
So thank you. We're going to send a Life Recovery Bible to you. I think that's something that both of you could use and look through and read and help you with your marriage as well as with his drinking and addiction. Okay, Linda, thank you. Just want to remind you folks, in 2020, a little less than a year from now, we've chartered a ship called the Ama Christina, and we're going to take a cruise on the Rhine. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've chartered the entire ship. Everybody who will be on that ship will be from New Life and be part of our New Life family of listeners. So take a look. The cabins are going quick. We've got about 30 left. We'll be back right after this. Thanks.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to go right to Mary. Mary's on line 4, listens in Vancouver, Canada, listens on our app. Hello, Mary. How can we help you?
Mary, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I met you on the trip to, my brain is not working very well.
Okay. It's okay. We feel that way too
Greece,
sometimes.
Israel, Ireland.
Israel, yes.
Oh, good.
My husband, Fernando. My husband, Fernando.
Oh, yes. I remember very well. How can we help you?
You guys. I just have to thank you for all that you do. You guys are amazing. And Dave and Jill, you have really helped me a lot in my struggles in my life. So thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. What's going on?
Okay. Well, this has been going on for 5 years now. And I'm asking, how can I support my husband? He's a doctor, and he's in a very bad business agreement, shareholders agreement.
Okay.
His partner is lying about him, and he's making all kinds of big power moves. There's discrimination involved. And I think what's happening, because I can't get into all the details, we've had so many problems, but I think what's happening is they're trying to push him out. But the ramifications of that to us would be total financial ruin. And my husband is an avoider. I love him dearly. He's very supportive of me, but he has trouble with conflict. He does not like conflict. And because, you know, I want to help him, but I'm also in contact with a therapist, one of your therapists that I met at one of your marriage intensive courses. She's wonderful, Anne Brown. She's just wonderful. She knows the situation, and she's telling me that I need to stand back. I need to, because I was very involved in the office, but right now I'm just doing payroll. I have to do that. But
your question you want to know how to help your husband, right?
Because
we can't solve his business issue, but we want to help you help him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one of the things I'm thinking is you ought to have an attorney that's going to protect you, that understands the medical field, and that. And then what your counselor is telling you is right on. There's a limit to what you can do to help him, and probably the only way you can help him is to be supportive and understanding of him. And
yes.
Well, to be his safe place,
yeah.
Right? So emotionally, this is so much for him. So you being loving and supportive and listening to him and allowing him to, you know, talk
unload.
It through with you.
Yeah.
Yes, unload.
And,
exactly.
And listen to him without solving the problem.
Right.
Be the wife who just listens. And
yeah.
And if you have an attorney that's going to protect him from the contracts that you have, that then you don't have to worry about it. And it might be a great investment to make in terms of getting an attorney.
The other thing I would encourage you is to encourage him to get into a group of guys that he can meet with regularly.
Yes, that would be so good.
Men need other men like that.
That's true.
So I don't know how you best do that other than see what there is at church and talk to some other wives, maybe whose husbands are in groups, and see if there's a way you could get him into a group.
Other doctors, other businessmen, people that are outside of his situation that he can confide in, you know, a support group. And maybe he doesn't know a lot, and even to start out with one other man or two other men and asking them to come alongside him during this difficult time would be a great support for him.
And I remember Fernando, Mary, and I remember his spirit and his intensity. I mean, he's a really good man. I would just encourage you, maybe.
I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, ask him to listen to this program. This program is going to air on Friday this week, and just ask him to listen to it so he can hear that he has a wife that cares enough that she would call a radio program.
Right.
And that you want to help him and you want to be there for him.
And, in terms of being conflict avoidant, a lot of men are that way. A lot of people are that way, I should say. And so
a lot of men are that way.
Yeah. I think maybe asking him what he's afraid of in this, right? Because it's not about having to be aggressively confrontational. It's about standing up for what's right.
And just listen to him. Don't take action, but just listen and support him.
Right. Yeah. That's doing a lot, just listening to him.
So, Mary, thank you so much for your call. Mm-hmm. It was good talking to you again. I hope that things work out well with Fernando and his partners.
Yeah.
It's tough, but, you know, if we seek God's promises, he says he'll see us through. Even in the shadow of the valley of death, yeah, that he'll see you through it. It doesn't take you out of it.
Right.
But he'll see you through it. And we're confident that's going to happen here with you. Okay, we've got more callers we want to get to before this hour is over. And you know, whatever you're dealing with, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. We can help you, whatever issue it is you're struggling with. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Everybody wants to be happy, but the problem is so many of us are stuck in the struggles of life and weighed down by our past hurts and mistakes. If you want to learn how to become a happier you, join us for this year's Life Recovery Conference.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and a lot of times I hear people say, you know, recovery just isn't for me, I'm not an addict. Well, actually, recovery is for everyone. If you're struggling in any area, you don't have to be an addict to do better when you surrender and take the steps to a happier life.
12 Steps to Happier with speakers Steve Arterburn, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. John Townsend, Chris Williams, Becky Brown, Jack West, and Amanda Anderson on Saturday, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine.
Come join me and our team of speakers for a day filled with wisdom and practical help.
12 Steps to Happier, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine. To register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit liferecoverygroups.com. That's 1-800-639-5433 or liferecoverygroups.com. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Dr. Stoop and Dr. Hubbard are here with me, and we're going to go talk to Dory. Dory's on line 3, listens on KKLA in Los Angeles. Hello, Dory. How can we help you?
Hello. Hi. I have had a problem dragging on for several years. My son was taken away from me when he was an infant because I was in a cult.
You said your friend was taken away?
Son.
Oh, your son. Okay.
Her son. So
I misunderstood.
My son. When he was an infant? So.
Yes.
Okay.
And he is now 39.
Okay. Mm.
I got to see him again at his high school graduation. We had a relationship until his daughter, his first child, was about 5 months, 5 or 6 months old. And I had been encouraging him to let his birth father into his life. And when he did that, it seems like at that same time, he cut me out of his life. And I have been trying to restore the relationship with him, but I've been unsuccessful. And so I'm looking for help. How do I reach out to him? Right now, I get to see my grandchildren. He has two, one a girl and a boy, grow up only because Facebook exists.
Right.
I'm grateful for the existence of Facebook, but having missed most of his life, all of his growing up years, it's really hard for me to miss my grandchildren's lives, too.
Yeah.
And they are now 12 and 9.
12 and 9. So
how long has it been since you've seen your son?
About 9 years.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And yeah. was that a face-to-face contact? Have you had other contact that's not face-to-face? Letters, email, anything like that?
Yes, I've sent him letters and cards and talked to him on the phone a couple of times.
So Dori, the first time you saw your son was when he graduated from high school?
The first time since he was about 2.5.
Since he was 2.5. And wow. During all that, was he adopted out, put in foster care? I mean, who
yes.
did he live with? Who did he grow
he
up with?
He was adopted out.
Okay.
I didn't know for several years that he had been adopted by the family that was his foster family. And when I found that out, it made me feel somewhat better because I had been to visit him in their home,
okay.
and I knew they loved him.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So,
and he is a believer.
Okay. So
it's more important to me that he has a relationship with
yeah.
Jesus than with me, but I would like him to have one with me.
Yeah.
So when did you come out of the cult? At what age? Sounds like you're a believer now.
Yeah.
It was 1989.
How old would your son have been then?
9.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
And I didn't try to track him down or
yeah.
contact him. Because I didn't want to disrupt his life. I actually did write a letter when he was 14 and I found out who had adopted him. But I sent it to his adoptive parents and said, you know, you read it and decide if you'll let
right.
him read it. And they didn't let him read it.
Have you done anything since then?
He said 14 was a difficult age.
Yeah.
Have you done anything since then in
yes,
terms of reaching out with a letter or something?
Yes. I have written letters. I have.
What kind of response do you get?
Well, we didn't get anything worked out.
But did you get a response?
I did have.
Did he ignore the letter? Did he say, I don't want to hear from you? What was the response, if there was one?
That was so long ago, I don't remember, but
okay.
since then, there has been communication.
Okay.
He invited me to a performance by my granddaughter that...
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
When he invited me, there wasn't time for me to get there.
Mm. Well...
But he at least did make that effort.
Yeah.
So how far away do you live from him?
About 2 to 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So, Dori, can I ask you what cult you were in?
It was a small cult. There was never more than 32 people in it. It was called the River of Life.
Okay.
Ranch and Ministry in Apple Valley, California.
Okay. But it was enough to have your child removed from you. Enough.
Yes.
Outside mainstream. Okay. You know, I'm sure your son has a lot of mixed feelings about having you in his life. And I don't know how much you guys have been able to process together or if you have at all. I mean, it's understandable that you would want to have contact and you would want to make up for lost time. I don't know if he has that same desire. Very easily could have felt abandoned by you, and you know he rebonded with a new family, who became his parents. And so, having you kind of in and out of his life may feel very disruptive to him. So I would want to know, like in reaching out, I might want to you know either however you guys can do contact, either by phone or a letter, to say you know, is there room for me in your life?
Hmm.
If so. What do you envision that looking like? I realize that I have grieved over you and have missed you ever since the day I lost you. And I'm so sorry that I was in a place where I chose other things to be more important than you. And I hope someday you can forgive me.
I like that.
Well, the other part of what you're suggesting, Jill, I would say she focuses on his pain.
Yes.
And his abandonment, and the difficulty he has in finding room for her,
right,
in his life, and not focus much on your own pain, because that's,
well, you have to focus with others on your own pain.
Yeah,
but to him, you really weren't much of a mother. Right?
He realized the pain that caused him.
Yeah, so he doesn't know where do you fit? Right? Where do you fit with, how does he see you as a grandmother when you weren't a mother to him?
And maybe you become like an aunt.
And then what does he do with his adoptive family in fitting you in? You know, there's a lot of...
And maybe ask when the next performances are ahead of time so you have time to be ready and go to them and get there on time.
But that focus on what his pain is and how you have a desire to be a part of his life and to make up for lost time again, but you want to do what works for him.
And if there was a meeting, would you say it's important not to be too smothering as we get into the first time you meet with him?
Not too needy, Yeah.
To go slow in a new relationship.
Well, when I went to his graduation... I hung back until everyone he actually knew had gotten to talk to him.
Yeah,
before I walked up to him and told him who I was.
Oh boy!
And then he hugged me and introduced me to his girlfriend.
Wow!
So Wow! That was the first time he met you since he was 2.5.
Yes.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow.
Wow! What an emotional event.
Yes. This gets very complicated, Dori. So I think, you know, having friends, having support from your end to deal with your emotions about it.
And I'm in Celebrate Recovery.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I'm definitely
good.
Working on me.
Good. And then really, like I've already said, focus on him and asking him the questions.
Where he wants you to fit,
especially. Yes.
Dori, we're going to be praying for you.
Yeah, so glad you're out of the cult. A believer.
Take Your Life Back, the book, maybe, to send to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to send you Take Your Life Back. You know, and that book is so important for so many people. And I just want to say that if whatever issue you're facing, you know, if you're facing addiction, if you're facing betrayal, anger, fear, grief, codependency, anxiety, if you're feeling stuck, you know, we can help you. Just call us at our 800 New Life number. That's 800-639-5433. And whoever answers that phone could be not just a listening ear. They're going to be somebody that can give you some suggestions of a book, a workshop, a counselor, group you could be in. Our focus and what we want to do is help you live a life more in tune to what God would have you want to live. And that's why we do this radio program. We love doing this because we hear from you that God moves in a way and your life changes. You're going from one direction to another and it makes a difference. And we're just grateful. And that's why we seek your support. So if you're able to support this ministry with a one-time gift or joining Club New Life, maybe you can leave us in your estate. Maybe you can donate stock. There's ways you can give. And we just pray that it's God's touching and His Spirit that would cause you to make that decision, not our arm twisting. It's got to be coming from you and from God. So thank you. We'll be back right after this.
She said, "We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are going to go to the phones and we're going to talk to Terry. Terry is on line 5, listens on Sirius XM from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Terry. How can we help you?
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call today. I'm in a place where I have been separated and divorced for the last 13 years.
Hmm.
And I find it very difficult to, living my life alone, have a great life, except that I've got this big empty hole where I don't have somebody special to share it with, and I don't know how to get out there. And you know, I've told my friends several times over the years that I'm available and ready. It took me about 7 or 8 years to get to that place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fairly attractive woman. I'm successful. I just don't seem to be approached by anybody.
Where do you see people in social settings?
Well, church and church.
Okay. No, just curious.
Well, I just don't go places. I don't. If I'm anywhere, you know, I go out to dinner with my adult children, or or with a friend. But
is Terry's problem?
I don't have a social life.
Okay, so that's part of the problem, Terry, because you know, especially when you live alone, you have to go outside of your home to have a social life, and you have to be the one to reach out more to people because you're the one with the need. Did you want to say something?
Is Terry and folks like Terry why the dating sites online have become so popular?
Well, I think that they do serve a purpose, right? For all of the complaints about them, they do serve a purpose, and I have known people.
I know someone in their 70s that
her friend said, "You keep complaining about this, do something about it." And so she went online and met a great guy, and they're married now. So it does happen. And Terry, I think you said something important. It's how do I get out there? And I always kind of, you know, laugh when people ask that question. Well, are you dating? And it's like, well, I'm not dating. It's just there might not be anybody there, because it's not a light switch that you turn on and off. But I think it is a mindset that you have to get into as to being open and being willing to kind of mix things up a bit in terms of where you go. If you only go to church and home and out to dinner with your kids, well, that's not enough places. You don't have enough exposure. And for women in midlife, the percentage of opportunity goes way down compared to men. So we had our time when we were young and had a wider spectrum of people to choose from, and now we have a more narrow spectrum.
question. Right?
Very narrow.
But the good thing is you only need one.
Yeah,
right? That's why I keep saying you only need one.
Is it acceptable for somebody like Terry, if she knows of a single man, say at church, he sings in the choir, and she knows of him or him, is it acceptable for him to ask him
for
out
her,
on a date?
For her to ask him?
Yeah.
Well, things certainly, change, and certainly I just don't in know. The younger generations,
that's common.
They well, do would, that, but
I would ask somebody else to arrange it.
I actually did that over the summer. I ran into an old friend who he divorced even before I did, and he was at a wedding that I attended.
Okay,
his daughter and my son, adult children, went to school together, and. And we ended up at this wedding together, and then I had another wedding to go to, so I invited him, and he went with me. But the few times that I've tried to reach out by phone call or text messages just to see if I could encourage anything, although he's very cordial, there's just...
He's not reaching back.
He's 2 hours away, and so I've said, you know, I'm going to see my son. Would you like to get together and have a glass of wine? While I'm there, and, you know, he's always busy. So I've stopped doing that because I'm embarrassed.
Well, yeah. I think, but you've got the idea, you know, reaching out is okay in those ways, and you've found very acceptable ways to reach out. And it's kind of letting the person know that you would at least like friendship, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that men do need to know that there would be some interest because it's hard for them to reach out, too. But if the person isn't reaching back after several attempts, then you do need to move on.
Yeah.
You move on. They're not available for whatever reason.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. I mean, it's probably been 3 months or so.
Yeah.
What do you think about?
I'm a funeral director, and I'm very social.
Okay.
I'm comfortable in all kinds of settings. I teach and facilitate grief classes outside of... outside of my funeral work, and I do that at church, and I do it on my own. So I have a lot of people in and out of my life, but I just don't nobody ever approaches me from church
What do you think about online dating? Have you set up a profile anywhere?
Actually, I set up a free profile on Christian Mingle just a couple weeks ago.
You got to sort through them. Bunch of duds.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you know, I got a response from a 40-year-old, a very attractive guy, and says, "Wow, what do you think?" I'm like, "No. You're younger than my daughter."
That's why I say you got to sort through.
But they're out there.
They're hard to find, and you've got to have a good sorting system.
But you
system.
Really think that that's something, because I've just been reluctant to go to next level with that, because I'm like, if God wanted me to, that's the other thing, is how do I know God doesn't want me to stay single? I mean, I've just prayed, but I don't have an answer either way, but I would think that the desire of my heart would go away
if God... Keep exploring.
Yeah.
Good things come after a lot of waiting.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. That's true. And I think trying all the avenues that are available and, you know, continue to let your friends know.
And if your friends know that you're on the dating site, they may be more interested in coming up with somebody that's available. Because usually that's the best way, is to meet somebody through a friend.
Or doing some kind of activity where you rub shoulders with people and you get to know them in a non-threatening environment, right?
And then it builds from there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Terry, thank you so much for your call.
It's not easy. I know.
But
I'm glad she has a good life.
Yeah, and there's...
Right?
There,
because when you're doing the things you love, that's opportunity.
And I know that this call spoke to a lot of people, not just you. So I'm sure of that. We want to send her. What are the books? Is this the one? There's a couple other dating books that we have done.
How to Get a Date Worth Keeping?
There, let's try that. How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. We'll send you that one. Okay, folks, that's it for the phone calls. I just want to encourage you so much to give us a call and see how we can help you. We still have an Every Man's Battle next month coming up. We've got 12 Steps to Happier Conference tomorrow, Irvine, California. call us, sign up for that. Tell them you want to come to that workshop. Steve is speaking. Dave Stoop is speaking. John Townsend.
Becky Brown.
Becky Brown. Chris Williams.
Amanda Anderson.
Amanda Anderson. It's going to be a really good. You don't have to be dealing with an addiction. You just want to be dealing with life.
Yes.
And this workshop is, or this conference is for you. Intimacy and Marriage is coming up. Call us. We love you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.